this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive. From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, listen to this. Here's a story from, get ready, guys, Tampa!
Did I get it? Did I get it?
No!
Oh,
no,
there we go.
Florida! Ooh, see, I threw them off. I surprised them.
It was out of reach.
They say if you've ever cleaned out a grandparent's attic, you know you might find some weird things up there. One Florida family recently discovered just how many strange things you might find. A Florida man and his sister were cleaning out their grandparents' attic when she found a wooden box with a wedding photo of their great-grandparents, a map of the Tampa area, some coins, and a human hand all arranged inside. The map bears the word Gaspar and is said to possibly be connected to the legend of a pirate from the area named Jose Gaspar, also known as Gasparilla. They say there is even an annual festival in his honor. Despite Gaspar's place in the Tampa area culture and folklore, there is no proof he was real. They say his myth may have originated with a railroad company advertisement, but at this point, experts are examining the hand to see if this actually could be the hand of the infamous pirate. Experts say the jury is still out. And I must confess, I have heard of Gaspar the Pirate, so we'll see if he is indeed real. We have all kinds of weird things that we're going to talk about on the show tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is, as always, Mr. Sam the Animal Steele. How are you doing this evening, Sam the Animal?
Ah, not so bad. I was listening to that story there, and it struck a chord because I am from originally the Tampa Bay area, and I recall as a youngster all the hoopla, the hubbubaloo, regarding the Gasparilla Festival.
Well, you know, that I had heard about it before, but I've never been down there before. And so it's weird to me that he is sort of this legendary, iconic, you know, fixture in the region, but nobody knows if he was real. On the other hand, I can see why that some of these pirates may have been so elusive, and they used, you know, phony, weird names to remain elusive. I can understand why that sometimes it would be hard to nail down the facts.
That was a nice use of the other hand. Get it?
Waka waka.
Just
hey,
pick it up.
What?
Pick it up where we left off.
This has been, well, this is right here. This is our first new show in over a month, Sam. Can you believe that?
I know. I'm sitting here with investigator Shelley Wright, and we were just saying, like, wow, it's been a hot minute, you know?
Well, and it's funny because during that period of time, we've all had a lot going on. I shot two productions, and there are certain things I could talk about and many things I can't, but coming up hour number two, I'm going to tell the audience and all of you about some of the things that I've been up to, especially when I visited the Washington, D.C. area to film and landed in Baltimore on one of the days when the riots there were reaching their peak.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll explain about that. And also, of course, I shot up there, and then here in the Caribbean, I shot a feature film. In the meantime, you, Sam, have been shooting a music video, and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop told me via text, now we haven't gotten to discuss this at length, that at her shop a major discovery was made. We don't want to spoil that yet, but Shelley, I'm hoping maybe later in the show, is this something that you're going to be able to talk about tonight?
No, probably not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have not found any more information out about it because we've been so crazy busy at the shop. We're all like ships passing in the night. It's hello, goodbye, and yeah, everything else in between is just a blur.
Okay, well, in that case, we will let that teaser hang for a long time until maybe someday you can tell. But you also have some other news that I hope that you're going to be able to share about a special little gift that you're going to be offering the people who come into the shop. Can we talk about that later?
Yes, just as long as you know that I still have to get that little gift.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
but I'm closer than I was yesterday to it.
This is such a frustratingly elusive program tonight, folks. We're just going to hint at amazing things and tell you absolutely nothing. You should just tune in in a month. Here's what we really are going to talk about, hour number two. I'm going to tell you again about some of my experiences in Baltimore. I visited for the very first time the grave of Edgar Allan Poe. I'd like to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to tell you what it was like to visit some other pretty remarkable things while I was in the D.C. area. I actually went to the big new facility there at the Air and Space Museum where I saw the Enola Gay in person. That's the airplane that dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, the very first time nuclear weapons were used.
Did they finally get a lot of the Smithsonian back up and running, as a lot of it's been kind of under construction or remodeling for the last several years?
Well, the only on this particular trip, the only Smithsonian Institution building I was able to go to was that new part of the Air and Space Museum, and basically it's a gigantic building. It's one of the biggest buildings I've ever been in my life. It's near Dulles Airport, and when you go in there, they have on display in this building an entire space shuttle. They have the entire Concorde. They have, again, the Enola Gay. They have an SR-71 Blackbird.
Ooh.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's just one mind-boggling spectacle after another.
That's got to be over a million square feet.
There's no telling. The only time I've been to buildings that rival the size of this building was when I went to the Johnson Space Center at NASA there in Houston, Texas. It was incredible just to go into this building. And it turns out, also as a part of my trip, I was able to unwittingly participate in cinema history.
What?
Yeah. Can you believe that? So I will explain all that. And hour number two tonight on the program. Have you guys heard about this sort of rage that's sweeping the world, especially among high school students, regarding this game to conjure up a demon called Charlie Charlie?
Very little.
Very little.
I heard about it on After Midnight last night, or the other night, with Chris Hardwick. They did like a little hashtag wars or something about Charlie Charlie. I was like, what? I don't know. Am I too old? Am I out of the loop?
Maybe, Sam.
Is it like conjuring Helen?
I think it's similar. It reminds me a bit more of a Ouija board technique. But during hour number two, I'm going to tell you what this thing is called Charlie Charlie that is just freaking people out around the world. Yes, I did it myself last night.
You did not. Did you?
I did. I'll tell you about my experience. And I have an interesting audio clip that I'm going to play for you that relates, I think, to this eerie phenomenon known as Charlie Charlie. And so we're just going to dig into all kinds of really cool stuff, hour number two. Obviously, this first hour of the show, though, we have some serious news to catch up on. Speaking of audio, when we come back from our first break, I have some audio that I want to play for you regarding something that is, again, sweeping the entire country. Actually, you could say this is sweeping the entire world as well, that is really unsettling a lot of folks. And we have some very strange scientific discoveries that have occurred. In fact, this just recently broke here. A group of scientists say that for the first time they have discovered antimatter in thunderstorms on Earth.
Huh.
Now, of course, the first thing you should probably ask yourself is, what the hell is antimatter, right?
Well, if I'm correct, it's like a teaspoon of antimatter weigh more than the universe or something?
You know, I'm not sure about that, but I wouldn't doubt it. It sounds like one of those things that I've come across in a trivia book somewhere. You hear all these terms like antimatter that sound sensational, that sound like something out of a sci-fi movie. But when it comes to grasping it in the real world, I mean, you're sort of scratching your head like, what exactly are we talking about here? Well, I was looking into this. And apparently the closest we can get to sort of trying to understand it, according to physicists, is that, of course, everything around you that's physical is made up of matter. However, there is this stuff called antimatter, which has the same mass as all the physical things, but an opposite charge. And when antimatter meets matter, they can neutralize each other. They can explode. They can do all kinds of weird stuff.
Streams.
Something like that. Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to play this creepy audio for you that might be an indication of what's happening on planet Earth right now as we talk more about things like antimatter. This is the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company tonight. The show is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.
Volvería y
broadcasting from the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains and hosting from the center of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, hitchhiking the ET Highway. I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And you may and you should call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. Before we get back to these news stories, I also want to remind all of you now, yes, I am here in Puerto Rico. I flew up to Washington, D.C. and shot some there and then came back to the Caribbean to shoot a motion picture. But I'm heading finally back up now to North Carolina for the month of July before I have to go to Michigan in August to do an event there. So, yes, I'm traveling all over the place. Keep in mind my new book, Use the Force, comes out on August the 1st. That's a Jedi's guide to the law of attraction. However, I'm doing a big event now in Asheville, North Carolina on July the 19th. It's a Sunday, and it's called A Wishing Machine Extravaganza. This is an 8-hour experience, and it will be the experience of a lifetime. It starts out with a fantastic workshop on the wishing machine that will improve your life in so many ways. You just won't believe it. That will be in the theater of the historic Asheville Masonic Temple. It begins at 1 p.m. on July 19th. Then after that, we all go and have a private cocktail party. And then after that, we have a haunted Asheville walking tour. We visit all the creepy, mysterious sites in downtown Asheville. And then we end back up at the Asheville Mystery Museum, where I will have some cool new exhibits on display. That whole shebang right now, you can attend. You can be there for all 8 hours, hanging out with me, hanging out with Shelley, hanging out with Sam, hanging out with Dr. Mulder, hanging out with celebrities like Linda Lell Miller. She's going to be there. All that for $99 if you get your ticket right now. If you go to joshuapwarren.com, you'll find info. There is no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com. You'll find info on July 19th, 2015. It's going to happen one time and one time only, so get that ticket now. Here's what we were talking about before the break. Scientists are discovering all kinds of weird things happening right now with planet Earth. Just recently, a physicist from the University of New Hampshire was flying an airplane searching for gamma rays, and he picked up all kinds of distinct gamma radiation peaks near some thunderstorms that he couldn't explain. And long story short, he realized that these signals were coming from positrons, the antimatter versions of the electron. The positron has the same mass as the electron, but the opposite electric charge. It would seem the airplane had flown through a small cloud of antimatter. The scientist said, quote, "This was so strange, we sat on this observation for years," end quote. They say antimatter is very rare. It is destroyed when it comes into contact with ordinary matter, so it is not often that we detect it. Astronomers see it plenty. It's belched out of black holes, spewed from space and cosmic rays. So they say it's understandable why the discovery that antimatter exists within comparatively mundane lightning storms seems peculiar. They're not sure what's going on here, but in my own research looking into antimatter, I discovered that scientists cannot explain why that antimatter is not as prevalently distributed here on Earth as matter is. It's one of the unsolved problems of physics. And I always love it when I come across those legitimate, unsolved problems of physics. So that's one weird thing that just shows you how, you know, we are continually discovering all of these odd things happening on our own planet right under our noses. But once in a while, we don't get the opportunity to gradually learn things. Sometimes the Earth just suddenly and violently shows us something that maybe we weren't quite prepared to see. And that is why I want to point out that you may not realize just how seismically active planet Earth has been lately. In fact, this is a report that just came out days ago. Just over the past couple of weeks, the entire west coast of the United States has moved on at least a 4.0 magnitude level or greater. The entire west coast. And this type of motion is also even going beyond the U.S. It's really all along the North American border or the North American coast. It says here 4.2 at the border of Alaska and British Columbia and Canada. This report goes on and on talking about how that there is something very big that's sort of rumbling around in planet Earth right now. And do you think it is a coincidence that this type of mass geologic motion also has been accompanied by a new flap of reports from all over the world of people going outside and hearing these very ominous, eerie noises coming from the sky, it seems. Sometimes they're described as sounding like trumpets. Sometimes they sound like the grinding of gears rumbling from somewhere deep within the planet. But every time they're heard, people just get goosebumps. It makes the hair stand up on the back of their neck. Now, we've played some of these sounds on the show before, but if you've never heard them, here is a sample of this is an actual recording now of some of these sounds that are being heard. And it doesn't matter. We can go all around the world, whether you're here in the United States or you're in Australia or you're in Asia. People are just hearing sounds similar to this one that we're going to play right now. You know, folks, I have been reading about what some scientists have said about these sounds, because scientists are not denying the legitimacy of these noises. So far, the reports have been from scientists, well, you'd be surprised how many weird noises the Earth makes all the time. Usually, it's just out of the range that humans can hear. Well, not anymore. We're going to take another break. When we come back, I've got more weird news for you, including one about a man in Florida who turned himself in for murdering his imaginary friend. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange.
Stretch to the point of no turning back. Senses real, fatal attraction is holding me fast. How can I escape this irresistible grasp? Can't keep my eyes from the circling sky, tongue-tied and twisted.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
The bird is a winner when the bird, bird, bird. When the bird is a winner when the bird, bird, bird.
Yeah, you are listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual, brought by Wright's Coin Shop to your ears. It's called Speaking of Strange. If you go to speakingofstrange.com, you will find not only a link to Wright's Coin Shop, but you'll find a live chat during the program, regular updates on weird news, and you'll also find a link to other cool stuff. For example, my Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours, designed and created by myself based upon my book, Haunted Asheville, which was the very first book of Asheville ghost stories ever written. And since then, every single year, we are constantly updating the stories and the research so you get the freshest, groundbreaking content. And, you know, there are imitators that have popped up over the years calling themselves ghost tour companies in the area. But look, if you come to Asheville and you want to take a ghost tour, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one. Go to hauntedasheville.com. Just go look at the TripAdvisor reviews. We have hundreds of reviews, and we have practically 5 out of 5 stars. So you can do pub crawls, the classic ghost tour. You can do a vampire and occult tour. And we even have ghost hunts for those of you who are really serious. You can do a late-night ghost hunt inside the old, haunted, historic Asheville Masonic Temple. And you can even right now, for a limited time, rent a pair of third-generation night vision goggles for your ghost hunt. So, again, links to all that stuff is at speakingofstrange.com. You can also go directly to hauntedasheville.com. Let me just sort of wrap up this topic that I was discussing before the break, before I move on, because during the break, you know, you were asking me, Sam, what do I think these noises are all about that people are hearing? And in a nutshell, what I think is that, you know, the Earth is this gigantic dynamic machine. It's much more complex than most people are even capable of realizing. We've never even seen what the inside of the Earth looks like. We've never been to the core of the Earth. And the Earth is kind of like a giant drum, and it's currently being banged by lightning bolts and debris falling from space. And there are all these resonances that are being created. And sometimes I think a harmonic resonance sort of escapes the Earth, maybe in a crop, in a field, and you get crop circles, similar to how if you sprinkle sand over top of a speaker and play a tone, that sand will snap into a beautiful pattern. On the other hand, sometimes I think these harmonics within the Earth become so intense, the frequencies raise into the vibration that we can hear with the human ears. And when that happens, something very, very intense is going on inside the Earth, and it could be a precursor to some kind of a major shift, which is why it's so darn creepy when you hear these sounds, like gears are grinding, like tension is building. It always reminds me of that trumpet-like noise played in the movie War of the Worlds just before the aliens go cleaning out of town. And then we see that overlap with all of this geologic movement that's happening on a mass scale. But, you know, again, the antimatter thing is just an example of how complex and how weird and how mysterious everything on this planet is. Hopefully we're not about to see some massive geologic action, but it's certainly possible. I mean, if something like, say, Yellowstone were finally about to blow, as we've seen in so many TV programs and read about in books and articles, well, then you might say, well, I'm far enough away from Yellowstone or I'm far enough away from the West Coast that if there's an earthquake or a super volcano or whatever, it's probably not going to affect me. But if there's a super volcano, well, apparently what's going to happen is that the entire sky is going to be blacked out by debris for so long that the vegetation around the planet dies. And then when that happens, well, we're all toast. So, yeah, it could be an extinction-level event that is about to happen. You know, I'm not a fearmonger, so I don't know, but I definitely think it's a possibility. We know that the dinosaurs were grand creatures, and, well, they didn't make it forever. Let's move on. Here's a story that's kind of quirky and weird from Jacksonville, Florida. 37-year-old man entered the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office and turned himself in for killing his imaginary friend, Mr. Happy. The man told officers he'd stabbed Mr. Happy repeatedly with a kitchen knife, cut up the body with a hatchet, and buried the victim in his backyard. And he said that he wanted the death penalty for his crime, wanted it right now. The man said he killed his imaginary friend of 7 years for multiple reasons, one for being messy. He went on and on about all the problems that he and this imaginary friend had. And they say police took the man into custody and obtained a search warrant for his house, where they found drug paraphernalia and a machine gun. So he's been booked on multiple charges. Once again, not surprisingly, we have plenty of strange Florida stories for you tonight. But let's talk about some things that are maybe a little bit more meaningful. As you know, we, the creators of the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the home, are always very interested when there are developments in the energy field. And the Tesla company has recently come out with a device called the Powerwall Home Battery. And the first run of these sold out in just 1 week. It's basically a big battery that you can use in your home that will power maybe the average home for 3 to 5 hours. And this thing can also accumulate energy from solar panels. It costs around $3,500, so it costs more than the Sunshine Simple does, which means the Sunshine Simple is still the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price. But we are very, very happy because Tesla and Musk and the people who are in charge of Tesla are really pioneering new types of battery systems that are making it easier to store large amounts of power for a long time. And so we're going to keep our eye on how all this develops. But that's exciting. It seems like that for a long time, the United States has sort of shied away from mass solar energy because of that scandal where the government wasted so much money on a fraudulent solar company. But now it's becoming clear once again that, hey, technologically, this is the inevitable wave of the future. And that's why we want to also remind all of you, if you have never been to the Sunshine Simple website, go to sunshinesimple.com, that's sunshinesimple.com, and watch the free video. And as a matter of fact, we were just contacted a few days ago by someone who bought a Sunshine Simple generator and then said, by the way, I own a massive exportation company, and they are interested in exporting these to other countries to help out in disasters. And so you can imagine how proud we are that our unit is being considered for that. So please go visit sunshinesimple.com. But, you know, the headway that's being made is not only in solar power. You may recall that recently on this show I told you a bit about the U.S. Navy developing an entire submarine powered by seawater. Sure enough here, it says they have turned the gas-to-liquid process into a very efficient way of propelling submarines or ships, doesn't matter. It says, according to a press release, it says the innovative and proprietary electrolytic cation exchange module, both dissolved and bound CO2 are removed from seawater at 92% efficiency by re-equilibrating, I tell you, they've got some big words in this press release, carbonate and bicarbonate to CO2 and simultaneously producing H2. Okay, you can see this is pretty technical, but basically they are saying, hey, we're taking seawater and we're powering gigantic things with it. But have you noticed that there are very few people in the media talking about this kind of game-changing new technology? Maybe that's because the media, like it or not, is often controlled and certainly owned by these major energy companies. And sometimes protocol is passed right down to the editors at the news desk. We're not going to cover any stories about A, B, C, or D. That's the truth. That's the way it works. So you got to get on the net to learn about these things for yourself. That's not the only innovation being made, though. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about some brand new, incredible weapons that are being now revealed. One of them is apparently being used already, and the other one is being developed by NASA, a massive space laser cannon. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Well, my name's John Lee Pettymore. Same as my daddy, as daddy before.
Minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. My name is Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, well, I'm going to tell you about my recent trip up to the D.C. area, arriving in Baltimore right in the middle of one of the biggest days of the Baltimore riots. I'm going to tell you about some of the places I visited there, the grave of Edgar Allan Poe, what that was like. Fort McHenry, the place that inspired the Star Spangled Banner. Also, a sort of my opportunity that I unexpectedly got to participate in cinema history. I'll tell you a little bit about my visit there. Tell you a little bit about the feature film that I've been shooting here in the Caribbean. And also, we're going to talk next hour some about this new sort of creepy thing that seems to be sweeping the youth today. It is a game, if you want to call it that, called Charlie. And it's about conjuring up a demon to get answers.
Tisk, tisk.
And, yeah, and I tried it out last night. So I'm going to tell you about this thing called Charlie. And I'm going to share something with you that I think is really intriguing about the concept. All that coming up next hour. Let me also mention to you that, of course, I started writing books when I was a teenager and have never stopped. I have a new one coming out on August 1st. And I come from a long tradition of storytellers, both sides of the family. My mother and my father are great storytellers. But my father has been especially apt over the years to put pen to paper. He's never been a professional writer, but he has written some great tales. And so probably a lot of what I do is inspired by him. And yesterday was my father's birthday. So, Dad, keep up the crazy stories and keep the creative ideas flowing. I love you and wish you a happy birthday.
Hey,
my dad is an adamant listener.
You know, yesterday was also my mother's birthday.
No way!
Yes, way! Small world!
Yes, way! And she let me know this by texting me while I was at band practice saying, it's not too late to wish your mother a happy birthday. So we got her up on the FaceTime, and we played happy birthday for her.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
That's sweet.
Isn't that weird? Another correlation between the Warrens and the Steels.
That is a coinky dink if I've ever seen one. All right, well, happy birthday, Mrs. Steele, and
birthday,
Mr.
Warren. There you go.
Okay, let's see here. A couple stories before we have to go to our break. This one is interesting because it deals with the state-of-the-art weaponry that's being developed these days. This is called the CHAMP, C-H-A-M-P. It's an acronym for Counter Electronics High-Powered Microwave Advanced Missile Project, developed by Boeing. It is essentially the old nuclear electromagnetic pulse weapon, but without the nuclear part. CHAMP carries a generator that emits microwaves to fry electronics with pinpoint accuracy. It targets not nations or cities, but individual buildings, blacking out their electronics rather than blowing up physical targets or people. What makes CHAMP even more interesting is that, unlike a nuclear electromagnetic pulse weapon which fires once, blacking out entire nation states, CHAMP can fire multiple times, pinpointing and blacking out only essential targets. So they say, for example, you could use this to take down the radar defenses in a hostile state while saving the electrical grid that supports the civilian population. So that's, you know, I would say that that's good news anytime that, you know, they can take out an enemy without having to kill people. I think that's a good thing. But it also shows you just how good they're getting at just pinpointing exactly the things that they want to look at on an individual level. So that means, hey, the spying has probably gotten to that level of pinpoint accuracy as well. They can go right in there and look at exactly what you're doing and probably just take out what's happening in your house. And here is a grander level weapon that is being developed by NASA in conjunction with other researchers. They say the International Space Station is apparently going to one day be armed with a laser to shoot down orbiting debris. NASA researchers suggest that nearly 3,000 tons of space debris reside in low Earth orbit, including derelict satellites, rocket bodies, and parts of tiny bits of wreckage produced by collisions involving larger objects, impacts from pieces of junk that are only the size of screws, can still inflict catastrophic damage on satellites because they can travel 22,370 miles per hour. The problem of space debris is growing, and so they are working on a full-scale version of this laser. It will have a 100,000-watt UV-CAN can laser that fires 10,000 pulses per second, and it can destroy just about anything they might encounter floating around Earth up in space. Well, that's just what we know about, my friends. We're going to take a break. When we come back, yes, I'm going to tell you about some of the amazing things that I encountered when I was up north. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.